When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The voice of Husker Nation is on the air. This is Hail Varsity Radio. Insight, opinion, expertise, along with the biggest names talking Nebraska sports. Join in with the show at 402-489-1240 or 1-800-825-5865. Now, here are your hosts, Chris Schmidt and Elijah Herbel.
Welcome to it, Roadshow Thursday. It's Hail Varsity, powered by Cornhead Lager. Chris Schmidt, Elijah Herbel en route. We have a first in, not the StreamYard, but here in the single barrel inside the Graduate Roadshow here, getting you ready for the spring game Saturday, getting you ready for the NFL draft tonight. Chris Schmidt, Elijah Herbel, Connor Clark back in studio as we're at 9th and P here at the single barrel. You want a whiskey? You want a beer? You want a big old steak?
I want all of those
Nebraskans
things.
Love, and Connor wants all of it. Get on down here to the single barrel. We're here till 6 tonight. We're here 10 to make that a – hold on a minute. We're here 8 to 10 on Saturday. Great breakfasts every morning here starting at 7 a.m. at the single barrel. But if you're a Nebraska fan, you're coming into town for the game. The single barrel is where you got to eat. The Graduate's where you got to stay. And we just got to meet an American hero in Brian. Mm-hmm. Brian with the U.S. Navy, originally from Iowa, family in Nebraska, as he is in town. So Brian, our honorary number one, as he was the first here in the single barrel. We'll get to our StreamYard shout-outs here, our starting five. Many of you check us out on Hail Varsity YouTube every day. We thank you kindly for that. Give us a follow and find on the Hail Varsity Twitter feed as well at HVarsity Radio. You can find my Twitter at Schmidt_radio, at Herbal Essence for Elijah, at C_Clark_27 for Connor Clark. We'll hear from Matt Rhule, his last post-practice presser pre-spring game, that in a little bit. We're loaded up too. Plenty of NFL draft thoughts today. Brandon Vogel from Counter Reed. We'll talk some Big Red football with him. Vogues is also a Bears guy, as is Connor, as is Danny Burke. We are surrounded by Bears fans. That's all right. Big moment tonight for the Chicago Bears with Caleb Williams, presumably. So Vogues in hour one. He is at the draft. He is anchoring ABC's coverage with Nick Saban tonight for ABC ESPN Field Yates. Our conversation with Field Yates, draft analyst and NFL insider at 5:05. And then Coach Barnett will join us. We'll talk spring game. We'll talk Dylan Raiola. He'll even talk Dylan Edwards with us as a prized back in the portal. Danny Burke from Burke's Best Bets at 5:40 rounds us out. Kind of a damp, gloomy, but not cold day in downtown Lincoln. But you're invited out, warm up, maybe a cup of soup, maybe a Guinness, or maybe just a little Jack Daniels, Elijah.
Well, you have all the choices of whiskey here that you could want. I was going to say, you could
over
go
250.
You go with the Jack. You could go with the Larceny. I got to check out and see if they got the Bone Crusher. That's the one I've been drinking at home here recently. That's the thing about a gloomy day like today. You could take a nap.
Gloomy in appearance only.
I mean,
that doesn't feel gloomy.
Oh, well, I guess.
Compared
in
to
a way,
yesterday.
Yes, in a way, no.
I mean,
it, this is like standard spring in Nebraska. For true. Some people, this is gloomy. To me, perfect day to have 3 to 4 glasses of whiskey at the single barrel in downtown Lincoln to get myself geared up
between 4 and 6. Huh?
Well, I have to get myself ready for the misfortune that will be the Broncos draft tonight. I have low hopes for what the Broncos will do. High hopes for the Nuggets tonight at 9, but low hopes for the Broncos. We'll see. If the Broncos trade up, though, it will be a rough night for me.
Let's talk about hope. You have your hopes pinned on Denver making good draft decisions. Connor, you have your hopes pinned on Caleb Williams working out in the top spot as the top quarterback, the franchise changer. You have hopes that pick number 9 is also sweet. A lot of capital for Chicago to spend this NFL draft in some key spots. I have hope that Saturday and kickoff gets here sooner rather than later. I have gone from 0 to 60 on the excitement level for Saturday, and Matt Rhule kind of laid it out. It sounds like it's going to be kind of a fun, wide-open spring game where they're going to let the guys go play. And something he said, and we'll hear more from Coach Rhule in a moment, but I think Nebraska fans have been waiting a long time for the Saturday Huskers. And what he said about, hey, Tuesdays and Thursdays, at least in his first year, was good. The practices were good. The attention was good. The work was good. All that's wonderful. But we've talked for a lot of years, fellas, about that translation, translating from practice to performance on the football field in some key moments. And that's been an emphasis and a focus for Nebraska this spring and beyond. And that's what Saturday is going to be. What's the pecker factor? What's the consequence? And how do you perform when the lights are on? If you're a 5-star, if you're an Elite 11, if you're the incumbent, if you're a kid getting some of his first meaningful snaps against another peer, offensive line to defensive line, if you're one of those running backs or young wideouts, I should say, trying to kind of cap off what's been a good spring for you. Or maybe does it kind of click? Does the light come on? Does it slow down for you after all the work? Time will tell. It's not UTEP yet. It's not Colorado yet. It's not at Ohio State yet. It's not at Purdue. It's not USC in mid-November. But this is all part of that progression, and it ends this spring session on Saturday. We're here at the Single Barrel, 9th and P, inside the Graduate Roadshow Thursday, getting you ready for not only the spring game, but also, yes, the NFL draft.
Well, before we get into this Matt Rhule audio, it seems like KG wants to pick it with me today. Okay. Not having it. It must be so sad being a Bears fan. The yearly highlight is the draft. Then that high gets crushed by week 3. Although it may be true, KG, I'm not having it. This is going to be a good night for the Bears, and God, I hope it works out.
At least draft night's a positive for Bears fans. The Broncos are taking Paxton
you
Lynch.
You have a Super Bowl
Simeon.
In the last century, in the century, geez, decade, excuse me. Sorry,
felt like
it's
it.
Long day. I don't want to hear anything, okay? The Bears have, like, it's crazy just seeing, like, Bears Twitter today and how just starved for a decent quarterback that this city and franchise is. Hopefully that changes tonight. There's a lot of stock being put into it, obviously. But, man, wouldn't that be awesome if it ended up working out? Plus, the new stadium got revealed yesterday. So that's also an exciting thing.
Well, let's hope they don't shut it down like Kansas City did with the Royals.
Yeah.
Well, let's just be honest. That could be not only a Bears theme or a Denver theme from the Jimmy Mack days or the John Elway days or Peyton Manning days or, dare I say, the Zach Taylor or Eric Crouch or Tommy Frazier days. Nebraska has been starved for game-changing, playmaking, consistent quarterback play for a while as well. And, I mean, you can look at some of Tommy Armstrong's highlights, but when we're talking All-American level, All-Conference level, playmaker, difference maker, Nebraska's in that same boat. You feel like you have choices on board with what Nebraska's been able to retain and bring in the quarterback room. I'll say this to both of you. It's not as stigmatized anymore with the NFL and whiffing on a quarterback. Chances are, when it comes to where you're picking and who you're picking, your miss / whiff or hit rate is always going to be super volatile with that quarterback spot. Mm-hmm. And the good news is NFL teams, after 1 or 2 years, they move on from a mistake. And in your case, Connor, you just get to pick again, number one overall, not too far removed from just doing it.
Well, to bring it back to college football here, it's the theme we've seen, and we've talked about it plenty within the past year, even past 5 years, Schmitty, since I joined you on this show, that that college football year to year is moving closer and closer to the NFL's model. They're taking more and more influence from the NFL. And what has the theme been in the NFL over the past decade or so? It's sink or swim when it comes to your young quarterbacks. The Jordan Loves that get to sit for a year or two before they're thrown into the fire are now few and far between. In the modern NFL, whenever you draft a quarterback, that is the guy you're rolling with starting day one. That's the theme. That's how it's going to be for the Bears, likely, whenever they draft Caleb Williams. Caleb Williams is going to be their guy from day one. Assuming that Jaden Daniels goes to Washington and assuming that Drake May goes to New England, which is kind of what a lot of the mocks have right now, we're going to find out in a couple hours. Those are going to be the guys they're rolling with. Nebraska, I think we can all assume, is going to be rolling with Dylan Raiola as their starting quarterback this year. I still think the competition is there, but I think we all know who's going to win that competition. It's not a discredit to Daniel Kalen. It's just what it is in college football right now, that whenever you have a guy, and we've seen this in the past couple of years, Trevor Lawrence at Clemson, Quinn Ewers at Texas, like whenever you have a guy, the guy gets thrown into the fire early. That's what I think we're going to see with Raiola. And Saturday is really our first chance to see Raiola, maybe not facing live bolts, but as close as you can get in
at
a spring
level.
Game environment. It's a sink or swim type moment for Dylan Raiola. What is he? We know he's got probably more arm talent than any quarterback we've seen in Husker history. We can see that based on the highlights, but similar to college to the NFL, it's not just about arm talent. There's a lot more to playing the game of quarterback, and it gets harder as you step up level after level after level. So how close is he to being ready to be a college quarterback? I think we're going to have a much better idea after Saturday. Not the perfect idea, but it's a sink or swim type moment for
Raiola. Well, and look, it's still shallow, all right? He's got plenty of time to, if it's not a great performance, rebound. Mm-hmm. If it is a great performance, take it with what it is, and that's just your first introduction into a simulated game environment. It will be a game. The format is going to be ones versus ones, twos versus twos, threes versus threes. Now, the offensive line and wide receivers will be shifting around teams from team to team. But what this allows is your young guys or your first-time starters or the guys that haven't had as many reps as the Ty Robinsons and Bryce Benharts, it allows them to feel this moment with 50, 60-plus thousand in the stands and then manage the moment accordingly. Let's get our StreamYard shout-outs, our starting five. As we say hi to NU Grandpa, he's in. Mr. Jeff Snitley checks in on the stream. Part of the Boulder Peace Treaty. Moonbot checking in already. Good to hear from Moonbot. Eat Beef is here. Moronic Figures is in. He says, Skull Vikings.
Oh, sorry, buddy.
Brandon is here. Yeah. KG's already chimed in off the top rope at Connor for the Bears.
And then he threw in Packers comment on top of it.
Well, clearly. I'm trying to be helpful, says KG. It's not too late to turn your ways and be a
helping.
Packer fan. KG also says this when it comes to where he comes in at number seven. Seven, but number one in everyone's hearts except two of my three ex-wives. They have no hearts.
I like how he's still number one in the one ex-wife's heart.
I know.
I like that.
Pretty good. Dion is here. Dion, good to have you, dude. Appreciate you checking in. And we'll get some more comments. Anonymous is here. And Anonymous lays this out for Nebraska fans in the stream. Again, you want to read the stream, check us out on video. It's the Hail Varsity YouTube channel. Raiola's the best pro prospect at quarterback we've had since Johnny Stanton. I think Johnny did some time at NFL camps as an H-back. Tiger Shark Diver is here. So MJ is in, and MJ is going back to the days of Vince Ferragamo. No way his arm talent's better than Vince. It's a fun argument. I never got to watch Vince in college. Really not much in the NFL. Talked to Vince a few times. Wish I had Vince's portfolio of properties in sunny Southern California. Excited that Brian's here listening to us. That's all good. I'm going to show this on the screen. He gave us a commemorative keepsake here.
Medallion, I think you'd call it?
I would say a medallion. U.S. Navy, pretty awesome. I'm going to hold it up to the screen. Both sides, incredible. Pretty awesome.
Brian also has himself, it looks like a, is it an old-fashioned? I think it's an old-fashioned.
Yeah,
that's a good choice. It's a good choice here.
It's without Elijah's arm reach, which is nice. that's pretty good. The waitress did not have to wake Elijah up. We'll hear from Matt Rhule here coming up in about 20 minutes. We'll check in with Brandon Vogel. But my theme and focus for Saturday is going to be, are they finally a Saturday Nebraska team, is what Matt Rhule wants to see. And can they put it on the grass, as Tony White would say, on both sides of it? I have a feeling the way the offense that Matt Rhule talked about responded the last couple of practices, specifically last Saturday's scrimmage, it sounds like there will be blood in said water for the defense against that offense. So we'll figure it out. We want you to get down here. Come see us here at the Single Barrel. We're roadshow Thursday for the NFL draft and gearing up for the spring game. And we'll have our headquarters here at the Single Barrel, 9th and P inside the Graduate. Back here on Saturday morning for your pregame ahead of the spring game from 8 to 10. You want a steak, you want a whiskey, no better place here than the Single Barrel. Tuck asking if he made the top five. He did not, Tuck, but good to have you.
You're number one in KG Kids for Life's ex-wife is rankings, so number one in the heart.
Number one in the heart,
two
sure.
Out of the three.
We'll hear from Brandon Vogel. Field Yates, less than an hour away from the NFL draft, as he will tell us what he thinks about tonight's selection process. Gary Barnett, hour two. Hail Varsity continues, powered by Cornhead Lager.
And now, back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Thanks for hanging out. It's Hail Varsity, powered by Cornhead Lager. Roadshow Thursday. NFL draft is, well, less than an hour and a half away. 2 hours, 34 minutes, 24 seconds as it ticks down from Detroit. And we'll check in with Field Yates at 5:05. As Chris Schmidt, Elijah Herbel, Connor Clark. And from CounterRead.com, it's Brandon Vogel to talk some Big Red football and maybe talk Connor into it being okay finally for that Bears excitement level. So, Vogues, we've kind of stumbled upon this. Who's in greater need for kind of that breakthrough quarterback play? Is it the Chicago Bears? Or is it Nebraska football? How are you today?
I'm doing well. Technically, to the degree that I am a fan of the NFL, I am a Chicago Bears fan. And I wouldn't consider myself in my role, but also just generally as a Nebraska fan. But Nebraska needs a breakthrough quarterback performance more. That's where I'm going with that one. A lot of reasons for that, I think, but that's a tough one. That strikes right at the core of what I am and kind of what I'm not about.
Now, Brandon, I was not alive for this. Schmidt and I talked about it before the show. That there's an old Tom Osborne quote that if the defense played well in the spring game, it meant they were probably going to have a good season in the fall. Does that still ring true with you now based on where this team is at right now? I know the old adage still goes, offense wins games, defense wins championships. I think that's kind of at the heart of the old Tom Osborne quote, that if the defense is able to stop that really difficult Nebraska triple option offense, means they're probably going to be good because the offense is so hard for everyone around the country to scheme for. But you look at where this Husker football team is at now with all the question marks on offense. Do you think if the offense goes out there and dominates in the spring game that it actually means good things for this team in 2024?
No, probably not. Spring games have gotten more and more as more and more of them have become televised, I think they've become harder and harder to, I think, extract meaningful data from. Like, you can be impressed by individuals. I'm going in Saturday super interested to see all of the quarterbacks, but particularly the two true freshmen. And beyond that, like, I think we have a pretty good beat on, or at least I feel like I do, that Nebraska's defense is going to be good in 2024. So if the offense comes out here and it seems like it's lighting it up on Saturday, that's going to tell me that was probably allowed to happen to a certain degree. At least that's how I would approach that, because Nebraska's offense averaged 18 points a game last year. they've got a lot to prove in 2024. The defense does not, because it allowed 18 points a game, which should win you some football games.
Notice how Schmitty and I both laughed when you pointed out that they scored 18 points a game on offense last year. But
let's sounds like the
on.
Bears, huh?
Yeah,
sobering it really reality.
But Matt Rhule talked about how they're going to throw the football, or at least he wants to throw the football. What does that look like to you on Saturday? Because, as you just said, things get televised, more people watch, the more vanilla it gets on the field. So how far in that playbook do you expect this offense to go with the deep ball?
Yeah, probably not that deep into the playbook. I mean, honestly, hitting a couple of deep balls would be nice, particularly if they connect a new on-campus quarterback to a new on-campus wide receiver, or really even, you know, a young wide receiver who we saw flashes from last year. But I mean, really the bigger thing I think for Nebraska when it gets to the actual games, and you might be able to see this, is like, what are they doing on first and second down? Those downs where you could run or pass, where you can run a fairly basic route combo, and like, is the ball on time? Is it where it needs to be? Is the receiver making a catch? I think those kind of more detailed pieces of it might tell you a little bit more about the passing game than maybe the big plays that they have. Because I think Nebraska hit some big plays via scheme and via individual talent in some cases. But the piece that was missing was just kind of like, yeah, it's first and 10. We're trying to get 6 yards here. Can we make the throw and make the catch?
Brandon Vogel is with us from CounterRead, CounterRead.com. Vogues, really enjoyed you and Aaron's work this week with CounterRead, Aaron Sorensen. And let's talk about, again, meshing tonight together with Nebraska football and the NFL draft. And what do you believe Nebraska should be? Me and Babbers were talking earlier today, too, at the press conference, just looking through some of Nebraska's more wow drafts. The last first round offensive player to be selected went by the name of Lawrence Phillips. The last first round pick for Nebraska football, 13 years. There's a drought. Now, there's been the Levantes, the Randy Gregories, the Amirs. There's been the Trey Palmers. Right, there's been some guys. You've got Cam Taylor-Britt. You have Cam Jurgens. So it's not been completely erased, but it's a far cry from every year. Worst case scenario, you've got a third round guy. Best case scenario, you've got a couple of first rounders. You got a second rounder. You've got some third guys, and in that 94 to about 02 window, you just kind of printed rush ends or defensive tackles. I mean, just year after year after year with the Neil Smiths all the way through the Vandenbosches or Steve Warrens. It was incredible. What should be normal for Nebraska on draft weekend?
Yeah, it's a good question. And, you know, I don't follow the draft closely enough to, like, I would say, like, look at Nebraska's peer programs. Like, they're real peer programs, not Georgia at the moment, not Alabama or Ohio State. And what kind of numbers are they putting up in the draft? And that's probably a pretty good guide. What I do know is, like, you can just look at Nebraska's recent draft history. And for a long time, they had that draft streak, right, where there was a player mm-hmm. that went in every draft for however many years, and it was the longest of any school. And, like, by the time you got to the 2018 draft, so following 2017 season, like, Tanner Lee barely kept that thing alive. And I don't even remember, like, which year it was that streak ended. But you just look at it. So Tanner Lee, like, barely keeps that alive. I'm probably forgetting a guy or two, but from like the Frost era, you've got Cam Taylor-Britt and Cam Jurgens to point to as two like homegrown guys, like real, like we identified them, we recruited them, they came here, they played, and they went and got drafted. maybe there's another one or two, but then you're looking at Nebraska's draft, and it's Maury Toure, who's a transfer. It's Trey Palmer, who's a transfer, and like that's just it's hard to win football games at the level you are. Nebraska has won previously, and I think the fan base still expects when you're not putting those guys in the NFL draft. Like, they just don't have them. I'll be very surprised if Husker gets drafted this weekend. And that's just kind of the reality of where things are. And it gets a little bit stark this time of year because, yeah, we got spring games going on and we're wrapping up spring practice in Nebraska. But the draft, if you're even a college football fan like myself, who doesn't care all that much about the NFL, like, this is the crossover point. So you look at it and you're like, I don't know if it's great to not have any players drafted, and it's probably not. Even if I do think there's a difference between being draftable and being a successful college player in some instances. But for the most part, like if you're a good college player, you're going to get drafted.
Brandon, one thing that I've said before on this show, and I also said it on the newest episode of the Average Joe Sports Show, is that how many first and second round picks a college football team has might be a better barometer for the health of your program in the modern era of college football than it ever has been before. Would you agree with that statement?
Yeah, it could be. I'll say it's not the college football that I want, but I think it might be the college football that we have. Because even when Nebraska was like humming under Tom Osborne and kind of running what it ran, to Schmitty's point about the last first rounder on offense, at that time, at that point, like Nebraska was extremely talented, but they ran the option. And the NFL was just like, yeah, we're not doing that. We're not interested in that. Those lines have blurred since then. But it's tough to like look at the Georgia and the Alabamas and the Ohio States of the world, see their performance in the draft and see what they do in college football and say, yeah, that kind of might be like what you have to do to like win at the utmost, at the top level in college football. That said, Nebraska's trying to get to a base camp that's not quite at the summit of that mountain yet, I think, in terms of, hey, can we get to a point where we're winning 8, 9, 10 games consistently? And what does that take? That probably doesn't look like, putting 6, 7 guys in the first 3 rounds. But you got to have more, I think, than what Nebraska has had, certainly.
What it takes is some of the evaluation and development that you had with not only the scouting part, and you got to give Callahan credit. He brought in a lot of NFL guys that may not have been NFL ready. Bo got them developed, and then some of the guys that went after Bo's tenure ended up into the league, and then you've got some crossover that got drafted under Riley, and then you've got just this kind of just drop-dead moment where the streak snapped, and then you're trying to rebuild up. And oh, by the way, it kind of coincides too with from a bowl standpoint. Can I get 2 minutes on the other side, Vogues? Is that all right?
Sure.
All right. Brandon Vogel will hold over here with us. Counterread, counterread.com. Chris Schmidt, Elijah Herbal, Connor Clark. We're on the road today getting you ready for the NFL draft. TVs here at the Single Barrel, 9th and P inside the Graduate. Downtown Lincoln, our football headquarters. And what's really awesome is we'll be back here Saturday morning for the weekend edition. A little bit of a flex schedule time for the live show, 8 to 10 Saturday morning. So a couple more thoughts from Vogues. We'll hear from Matt Rhule, Field Yates from the draft in hour 2. It's Hail Varsity powered by Cornhead Lager.
And now,
back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Couple of nice recruits for Nebraska football 2025. We'll get to Brandon Vogel with us from Counter Reed. CounterReed.com. When you think of Detroit / Michigan music, Brandon Vogel, is it Ted Nugent, Bob Seger, Insane Clown Posse, Eminem?
Oh, my goodness.
Dee Snider, Kid Rock, or Iggy Pop? Who is Brandon Vogel's draft pick?
If you say Insane Clown Posse, we may never have you on the show.
I can't believe that's even an option.
I have relatives that actually went and saw them in Kansas City. I will not out my relative.
I want to say the pick that I want you to think I have is Iggy Pop. And it's not because I was like, I ever listened to this, but like, the first band I think of is Insane Clown Posse. It really is. Fascinating kind of cultural entry into the fabric of America, I can tell you. Every time I've been to Michigan, which has solely been for Nebraska football reasons, either they're playing at Michigan or they're playing at Michigan State, it's always struck me as just kind of like a strange place. I can't really describe it. And then, like, I make myself, I'm like, ah, oh, but this makes sense. Like, Kid Rock and Insane Clown Posse are from here. Like, I get it now. And, I mean, of those artists that you listed, like, the one that I probably actually listened to the most was probably Eminem.
Okay.
Though I was never, like, the biggest fan. But, you know, he was becoming huge at an impressionable time for me. And even Eminem, like, was a bit strange in terms of when he entered the game, so to speak. So, Michigan, I haven't figured it out yet. I'll put it that way.
Kranak believes there's lots of militia in Michigan based on our time at East Lansing last fall. What do you believe about the format tomorrow and Rule's comment today on the pressure part of things, not only for the head coach but the quarterback here?
Yeah, I thought it was pretty good. You know, I think Rule does a nice job of balancing, like, hey, you know, there are coaches out there that are just like, I'm not gonna do anything in the spring game, like, I don't care, like, I don't want this stuff out there, and that's what I want to do. And I mean, Rule even said, like, if he had his quote unquote druthers, like, he'd probably go with a system that, like, awards points to the defense, which we saw at Nebraska once previously, at least once. And I would agree with him, like, that scoring system sucks. Like, it's impossible to follow. it makes sense, but it's just like, you're sitting there, you're like, who's winning? What's happening? How many points is that? So I think you just line up and play like pure football. And like, you know, we've also seen coaches at Nebraska in the past, I think, and elsewhere, who are just like, well, this 15th practice is just gone. It's like a showcase. And that's what we do. And Rule, I think, looks at it as, well, we're playing in front of fans, in front of a remarkably large amount of fans, contextually. So let's use that to our advantage. So I think it's the right balance of, for your 15th practice of the spring, of like, hey, let's try to get something from this, but let's also acknowledge that, hey, this one's a little bit for everybody else.
Brandon, when it comes to a winner, we've seen coaches do it in different ways before. We've had the winners get the steak dinner, the losers get the hot dogs. In the modern era, would it be legal under NCAA bylaws to have the winning team get an NIL check that they get to split among themselves? Would that be a legal way to incentivize winning the spring game?
I think you're onto something.
That's a good question. I mean, let's walk it out. Hypothetically, you just need a business or a potential donor to say, I would like to provide an NIL deal to anyone who is on the winning team in the spring game. And yeah, it might be that simple. Like, I'm trying to insert business here. They're like, yep, $5,000 to everybody who is on the winning team at the spring game.
Everybody gets Cornhead
Lager, which is very much in line with, I think, how NIL is actually working in college athletics, and that it's not actually about market value. It's just been like, it's just a way where it's like, yeah, we can pay these guys now. So we're going to do that.
Bogues, what's coming up from you with Counter Reed? CounterReed.com. How can folks get signed up?
Yeah, you can check us out at CounterReed.com. We'll, of course, be all in on the spring game in the next couple of days. I think Aaron tomorrow has a newsletter coming out on Nebraska's two commits, but also taking a look at some of the official visitors in town, which is interesting because Matt Rule spoke about it on Thursday about making that an official visit day. On Saturday, we'll have a little spring game preview right away, first thing in the morning. And then plenty to come after we actually see the game and have, you know, the longest practice yet to overreact to for the rest of the summer.
Brandon, who wins on Saturday, red or white? Not knowing anything about the rosters, not knowing anything about the game itself, just your thought, red or white, who wins?
Red. I'm gonna go with red.
I think you picked red last year, too. I like asking this question every single year because it's completely irrelevant.
Like twice. Bogues, we'll check in Saturday morning for the weekend edition here from the Single Barrel. Thanks again, bud.
Thanks, guys. Have a good one.
There he is. Good to spend time with Bogues. Let's sneak in what Rule was talking about here, about that that pressure, that stage, and getting ready for Saturday's and Saturday's spring game, cut six here. Pressure with the head coach, pressure with the top quarterback.
I mean, Husker fans have pretty high standard. You know, I'm sure that if I was a Husker fan, I'd just be coming hoping that the ball's not on the ground. You know what I mean? Like, hey, let's play real football. So, but I mean, you want to be the starting quarterback at Nebraska? You better be ready to deal with the heat. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, Heinrich learned that last year. A lot of guys have learned that it's hard. You know, after games. You guys don't talk to Gifford after every game, do you? You don't talk to Nash after every game. You talk to me and the quarterback. And so the two people with the most pressure are me and the quarterback. And so they better, if a freshman's starting, they better learn it now.
Fair. Very real, laying it out there. Let's talk about what's gone on all spring and what needs to happen Saturday. Cut five here from Matt Rule of time.
To me, you know, great players do what they do. They don't do new stuff. And so, you know, the analogy I just gave our players in here is like a lot of them play Madden. You know, if you call engage eight on defense in Madden and it doesn't, you know, engage eight. All right. I said that. I don't play it. And I was like, they still have engage eight? And they're like, yeah. If you call engage eight and then eight guys don't blitz, you think your game's broke. Well, when you're calling plays and you're calling an outcut by one and a shallow cross by two and they don't do that, you're like, how do you call the plays, right? So my challenge to the guys is just, hey, do what you've been doing all spring. And that's really true for the quarterbacks, right? I think with the headsets and the operation and all that stuff, being in 2 minute for us will really help so that we can, you know, I don't want to get to the first game. And if a freshman's starting, you know, I mean, we have a 66% chance of a freshman starting. It's what I've said to the coaches all spring. So I don't want to get there and all of a sudden it's the first time. And then if Heinrich's starting, it's his first time using the headset. So I really want this operation to flow, especially at the end of games. So I'm hoping it's loud, so that the guys get used to, hey, we're on the road, we're at Purdue, you know, we have to go win the game. At the end of the game in 2 minutes, what's it gonna sound and feel like? So those are the things I'm really looking for from a football standpoint. If it doesn't look the way we play, so be it.
And now, back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Winding down this first hour here at the Single Barrel inside the Graduate 9th and P downtown Lincoln. Getting you ready for the NFL draft. There's a crowd in Detroit. Shocker, not at all. When you look at the NFL draft getting going here at 7 Central. Don't know that we hear any Huskers this weekend, but I think you'll have a good shot of a couple of guys landing on rosters. Chris Schmidt, Elijah Herbel, Connor Clark, Hail Varsity Roadshow. We are back here Saturday morning for the weekend edition, 8 to 10 a.m. So we invite you down today here till 6. We invite you down tomorrow morning. Check that, Saturday morning. A reminder to get buckled up. Use your seatbelt. It saves lives. It prevents injuries only if properly worn. Make It Click, a message from the NDOT Highway Safety Office. Part of the NFL draft coverage, Field Yates with ESPN, NFL Insider, co-hosting the ABC draft and broadcast with Nick Saban. Our conversation with him in about 10 minutes. Gary Barnett will give us the lowdown on Dylan Edwards, the talented back bolting Colorado. What's he think of Raiola? And what's he think of this quarterback class? Coach Barney has seen them all the last couple of years covering Colorado football. They've played the Buffs. A lot of the top quarterbacks have, and they had good days. So it's something to wait for in hour two. Danny Burke, Pride of Chicago, Burke's Best Bets. He'll join us as well real quick, and then I'll shut up, Elijah. If you haven't got your reservations yet, do so now for tomorrow night at Herdat Sports Bar and Grill in La Vista. It is the Team Jack event, a panel. Anna Bellinghausen going to be hosting that. Kenny Bell, Amir Abdullah, and Nate Gary on hand. Doors open at 5 for Herdat Sports Bar and Grill in La Vista. The panel starts at 5:30. All proceeds go to take care of the great folks at Team Jack and their fight against pediatric brain cancer. So I don't know how much room is left, but do not wait. Check it out. Log on, Herdat Sports Bar and Grill, or log on to teamjack.org.
Quickly here, I just want to say we got Field Yates coming up at the top of the hour, as you said. We have the ESPN pre-draft coverage going up as we speak right now. And I just want to say, we have Nick Saban sitting directly next to Pat McAfee. I don't know if I've seen Nick Saban smile this much in years.
They're both West Virginia guys.
And the chemistry is just, it looks great. We obviously are doing a show, so we don't have the sound on, but one of those matches that I don't think I expected to work, but it appears to be working. I wonder if Saban actually has a career in broadcasting as opposed to being college football
Pat
star.
Makes it fun for him, Connor and Elijah, don't you?
Well, probably.
Has college football ever been this fun for Nick Saban? Like, even when he wins his national championships, he smiles for 5 seconds and says on to next year.
Saban got a monthly stipend from the McAfee show to appear, so of course he's going to be a happy dude. not that St. Nick needs any money, but yeah, he got taken care of, man, by McAfee.
Yeah, so I'd probably be smiling making that much money and work on TV, too.
I don't have to recruit. I don't have anyone walking into my office saying, yeah, coach, I need another half mil or I'm transferring. I've lost all control of creating value for yourself, and my vaunted process is out the window in the wild west of college athletics now. So yeah, Saban's happy as hell to be out. He can actually enjoy his boat, his lake house. And he'll pop on TV.
He should. Deserves it.
He'll find his way to the golf course. Field Yates coming up. We'll kick off hour two. Gary Barnett, we're here at the Single Barrel with Hail Varsity.
The voice of Husker Nation is on the air. This is Hail Varsity Radio. Insight, opinion, expertise, along with the biggest names talking Nebraska sports. Join in with the show at 402-489-1240 or 1-800-825-5865. Now, here are your hosts, Chris Schmidt and Elijah Herbel.
Back into it at Hail Varsity, powered by Cornhead Lager. We welcome in Field Yates, NFL insider, draft analyst. You'll catch him on ABC for the draft coverage. Field, nice to spend a few minutes with you. How's the week?
It's a crazy week, but we absolutely love it, so I appreciate you having me on.
Appreciate your time. You comb through so much data and film. What's the number? What's your war room look like, man?
It's crazy these days. Right now, we are doing our absolute best to keep up with all the various names. I'd say the biggest reality about this event that people probably overlook is that, well, probably 98% of the coverage over the next few days here will be glued towards who's going number one, number two, number three, top 10. I'm doing my best to stay on top of these guys that might not hear their name called until 257th overall, and small school wide receivers, and unknown players to most of America. So it's quite a balancing act, but man, is it a whole lot of fun. It's like fitting together a huge, huge jigsaw puzzle.
Field, we'll get to some of your thoughts on this year's class in a moment, but want to hear about your story, if that's okay, and how you were able to to soak in this NFL knowledge. Obviously, you're in media now, but you spent time with the Chiefs and before that with New England.
Yeah, so that was sort of my football Rosetta Stone, was learning in the early days of my scouting career. So it kind of gave me a little bit of a feel for how this process works. So grateful daily for how those two stops in my life prepared me for this opportunity right now, and learned a lot for some great people, and was fortunate to see kind of a couple different vantage points. You know, in New England, it was interesting to see things from the top, right? You know, how you build a team when you're trying to maintain the status quo of being a contender is different than when I was in Kansas City. This was, you know, before the world we know, the Chiefs, as this was before Patrick Mahomes was on the roster. So you're trying to find a way to improve from 4 wins to six wins to eight wins to 10, things of that nature. So I felt like having kind of opposite ends of the spectrum was really valuable for my growth. And certainly has helped me a lot in this process now as I continue to try to do my best to size up these draft prospects for all 32 teams as opposed to doing so for just one team.
Field Yates with us here on Hail Varsity, NFL draft analyst at Field Yates on Twitter, where you can follow him. When we talk about, let's go to New England for a second. What was there? What was so magical, precise about their process when it comes to fit, when it comes to character, the evaluation of their players? Belichick and crew did so well in the late rounds for so many years.
I'd say there were two things that stood out to me. One was I've never been around a place that had a more unified purpose or vision or goal. So everybody was, you know, the boat was always rowing in the right direction. You know, there wasn't a lot of people that had competing agendas. That was certainly a big part of it. And the second was, you know, New England, they weren't too worried about what everybody else was doing. And so while it's useful to have data points about who is mocking these players where and what people like myself now are thinking the Falcons will do at 8 or the Saints will do at 14. They're more concerned about finding players that fill their various needs. And I'd say as a result of that, it allowed them to, you know, sometimes sort of win around the margins with some later round picks, but also sometimes be bold in the early rounds and get some players that people weren't looking at the right way and find some real diamonds in the rough.
Field, when we look at this draft, it will be known for what position group to project into the future? I'm asking the quarterback class, the wide receiver class, the offensive tackle class, or the edge class?
I think it's a quarterback class. And it's a historically deep wide receiver class as well. I'm not ignoring that. But ultimately, quarterbacks just matter so much that if you have some hits in what could be a 6 quarterbacks in the first round class, then invariably you end up getting a lot of attention drawn to that class. Now, if you have a lot of misses in a 6 quarterbacks in the first round class, you get a lot of attention drawn to it for other reasons. I mean, just 3 years ago in 2021, 5 quarterbacks went in the first 15 picks. Since that time, three of them have already been traded, and Justin Fields, Mac Jones, and Trey Lance, and a 4th could be traded as soon as this weekend, that being Zach Wilson. So I will tell you, it is always an exercise about the quarterbacks more than anything else.
Let's talk Caleb Williams, Field, and say he goes to Chicago, number 1 overall. That's the thought. What about the support staff there? Can he be different in the Windy City?
I think so. I mean, I love the player, and I think that the situation's really good. I mean, you've got 2 good offensive tackles, 2 great receivers, bright offensive coordinator in Shane Waldron. So, I'd love to tell you something innovative, different, or unique about Caleb Williams that you haven't heard somewhere over the past 3 to 4 months, but I think he's as advertised. To me, he's one of the most exciting prospects come out in the draft in a long time. So I think Caleb Williams can certainly be the antidote to the longstanding Chicago Bears quarterback problems.
What do you think of Jaden Daniels? What can make him be that difference maker potentially in our nation's capital? I loved watching him even when he was young at Arizona State, and then he just kind of took off at LSU.
I think that there are a lot of things. I think you sort of highlighted a couple of them. Is, you know, he's a dual threat quarterback. So let's explain why that matters. Is that obviously as a runner, it's great when you can run around or through defenders. But I think what's so much more important for Jaden Daniels is that he can stress you with his arm as well. So Jaden immediately changes the math of both your offense and your defense. And we're seeing this movement more in the NFL these days. towards numbers games offense, right? So if you go and watch some of the stuff that San Francisco or the Rams or the Colts are doing, a lot of it is just simple math. Philadelphia as well, right? Every play has like three plays baked within it. But in order to run some of the concept that they are incorporating, you have to have a quarterback that can run. I mean, think about how different Philadelphia's offense would be if you didn't have a mobile quarterback like Jalen Hurts as an example, or even how much the Indianapolis Colts offense changed last year from Anthony Richardson to Gardner Minshew. So I think the Jaden Daniels ability to change the math on offense and defense, to me, should not be overlooked. And on top of that, the clutch production was so great. He was so good in key moments last season. Really helped carve out that, you know, likely top three draft status.
Where are you with Drake May?
I'm in on Drake May. I've got him as the fifth-ranked player on my board, a guy who I think has immense upside, has immense potential, 6'4", 226 pounds, absolute rocket of an arm, really crafty inside and outside of the pocket, excellent athlete, terrific character, elite makeup. All of those things I think are really important that I'm far from giving up on Drake May. He might need a bit more time relative to Jaden Daniels, but Jaden's got three full years of college experience on Drake May, and I think that's probably part of the reason why right now it feels as though Drake May is a less polished product than Jaden Daniels.
Couple of names in Big Ten country where we're at, of course, J.J. McCarthy, Marvin Harrison Jr. Let's start with McCarthy. What do you believe about his upside? I know the guy's uber accurate. We saw him here in Lincoln when they named their score against Nebraska, and they did that to a lot of people. He is mobile. He's accurate. Is he a guy that could throw for 300 yards every weekend? Can he make that jump into the NFL, or do you think he'll find a spot, someone will trade up for him to manage and then make some plays? How do you see his NFL future?
Probably somewhere in between. I don't think it's a game. I don't think a team that would trade up from 11 to 4 or 5 like the Vikings would be angling for a game manager. But I also don't think that J.J. McCarthy is going to have the same video game numbers that maybe a Jaden Daniels can bring to the table or a Caleb Williams can bring to the table. So I just think he's got a smaller sample size than all these other quarterbacks, which is part of the reason why he's much more of a projection. That's not J.J.'s fault. He doesn't call the plays. He doesn't decide how Michigan wants to stylistically build their offense. But you know, when you have five full years or six full years as a starter like Jaden Daniels does or Michael Penix Jr. does, that's just going to give you more assurance about what the player currently is as opposed to where J.J. McCarthy is, who has just 2+ years of experience.
How about Marvin Harrison Jr.? Is he somebody that can take that franchise that gets him and be one of the key reasons for a jump? Is he that dynamic? I know how great he's been in college, but
he's special. This is special. This is a classic don't overthink it prospect in Marvin Harrison Jr. He is as good as advertised. He does everything well. There's really no area of his game that I would put as anything other than above average to great. He's got the makeup. He's got the athleticism. He's got the skill set. He is the most pro-ready prospect in the entire class, in my opinion. So I understand that there can be various opinions or varying opinions on players, but really I would just tell people, do not ever overthink it when it comes to Marvin Harrison Jr. This guy is the definition of a ready-made wide receiver.
Couple more minutes. Field Yates with us, NFL insider, draft expert, ESPN, TV and radio. Field, a thought with you on just some teams in this draft that can make that jump next season if they nail the draft. That's the hope. There's a reality. And I know there's several teams that could trade up, could trade down. But who do you think's on the cusp of maybe being a perennial winner, as hard as that is to do year in, year out in the NFL?
Yeah, I stopped short of perennial winner, but I'll give you two teams that can come to mind as making a big jump this year. One's the obvious one at Chicago, because if you nail the Caleb Williams pick and he becomes the player I think he's going to become, then you're going to be really, really good for a long time. That's the obvious one, and on top of that, they have that number 9 pick, which means a very valuable player if the Bears stay at number 9 overall. The second one is the Cardinals, just because the Cardinals believe they have their quarterback, but they also have 6 picks in the first 90. So you take six picks that early in the draft, you could potentially get six starters, and one of them might be Marvin Harrison Jr., a guy who I think is worth every bit of that fourth overall pick. So Arizona does play in a division that's got, you know, some certainly some competitive teams, the 49ers, you know, going to the Super Bowl last year, the Rams making their big boost, and Seattle, another team that's going to be hovering right around that playoff picture. But I think Arizona does have a chance to take a leap forward because of the sheer volume of picks they had this year.
What are you hearing about Denver? Do the Broncos need to trade up for a quarterback? Which quarterback could fall to Peyton and company first, do you think?
Yeah, I think there will be a quarterback available at number 12, maybe two available at number 12. I just don't know if it's the preference of the Denver Broncos, because I tell people often that, you know, scouting quarterbacks is sometimes like shopping for a home, right? I mean, you and I might go into a neighborhood and see three different houses that are all priced for the same amount. You might like A, I might like B, and, you know, our realtor might like pick C. And so I may say that only B is worth it. You may say only A is worth it. And that's the reality with quarterbacks, too. If Michael Penix Jr. is there or J.J. McCarthy is there, does that mean the Broncos, given their quarterback need, are going to pounce? It doesn't, because they might not have the grade required to make that investment on either of those players. But I just think, given how little activity they've had at the quarterback spot in terms of adding players this offseason, we have to assume we'll take a quarterback very early in the draft.
Thought on the Cowboys, their needs, their wants. Of course, Jerry and company want to get back to that that promised land. Do they go offensive line early, or do you think Dallas goes with the skill spot?
I think they have to go offensive line. They've got a massive gaping hole on the left side of the line. It's about the size of Tyron Smith, who, of course, signed with the Jets this offseason after an illustrious career with the Cowboys. So the Cowboys, I think, are a left tackle or left guard team. If they can find a tackle, they would keep Tyler Smith at left guard. If they find a guard only, they would move Tyler Smith out to left tackle. I also think that if all the tackles they love are gone, that they may move down a little bit, because given how few additions they've made this offseason in free agency, they still have a bunch of needs. So lots of picks could certainly help.
And Field Yates with us here on Hail Varsity. Field, we'll say goodbye to this. Your feel on Michael Penix Jr., do you love the arm? Yeah, probably, but the injury concern, where do you weigh in on his pro prospects?
Yeah, I mean, I don't have the medical information, so I'm not going to speak to that part, because, you know, everybody has a different opinion on it. I like the player a whole bunch, that much is sure. He's got a rocket arm. I don't know that I'm quite as high on him as I am Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniel, and Drake May in that order. But, you know, spending time around Mike and seeing him throw at the Senior Bowl and then again at his pro day, I do think there is certainly a lot to like about his game, the leadership. The left arm is it's as strong as there is, an excellent vertical thrower as well, really smart guy, good processor. All those things give me a lot of confidence in him. I think he ends up going in the first round as well.
Field, thank you much for the time. Wonderful to spend a few minutes and talk draft with you.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me on.
Field Yates says he's gearing up for coverage on ABC with Nick Saban and the game day crew. Right now, Saban with Herb Street, Brian Kelly. There's not been a cage match yet between Coach Saban and Coach Kelly, but they're all front and center right now. But Field was incredible. Great knowledge, Connor and Elijah, and nice for him to take time this week to catch up and kind of lay it out there. The kind of some of the obvious on my part, but, hey, he's in the thick of it, him and Mel Kiper and the crew doing what they do, and that's making phone calls and putting their final board together.
And it's a tough job because you have to sift through the smoke from the teams, the smoke from the agents. You have to find the truth. And we're at the point, like, from what you hear from the NFL executives, the final 24 hours before the draft is whenever the real information really starts coming out. Like, the prevailing stories you hear within the past 24 hours tend to be true. So it's a really interesting time, as we're now an hour and a half away. Still think the Bears are going to go number one, but I think after that it might still be anyone's guess how the rest of that top 10 plays out.
Todd emails in, winds dictate future draftees since seasons are played before any draft. Only good players win and potentially get drafted. That goes back to that quarterback drought discussion. the Bears or the Huskers? who's gotten their fix? Gary Barnett's with us next on Hail Varsity.
And now,
back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Back with you, Hail Varsity, powered by Cornhead Lager. Roadshow here for the NFL Draft at the Single Barrel inside the Graduate, 9th and P. Going to be here Saturday morning for our pre-spring game coverage. We say hi to Hall of Famer and Coach Gary Barnett, Colorado Northwestern. Coach, tis the season, right? We're winding down spring action for a lot of college football programs. How are you?
Oh, doing well. Just trying to keep track of a little bit of the spring action. Going back to Boulder this week and do the last spring practice. I think we're going to get rain, though. Mm-hmm. So, we've got so many new players, and trying to keep up with the ones that are still there. Seems like there's a trend, at least as I'm watching it, that guys are staying for about 10 or 11 days of spring and then putting themselves in the portal. And I think a lot of that has to do with their agents, with their representatives. So it's, anymore, it used to be spring was pretty important. Now I don't know that it is.
You know, and that's what we're anxious to see in Lincoln is just what kind of show / improvement, what little glimmer of hope can you take with you going into the fall? I want to ask you, because his name's been mentioned about Nebraska being a landing spot. What's your take on Dylan Edwards? You got to see this kid as a true freshman game in, game out.
Well, he's really dynamic. You know, he had a great opening game, and he never really got on track after that. But he's very versatile. He's not any bigger than a minute, but he's quick. He's got really good ball skills. Seems to have instincts. You know, he's a good player. He was going to be a really important player, I think, to Colorado this year because they were going to use him in so many different ways. And, he's fast. So he's a good player. You know, he's undersized, but anymore with the wide open offenses and the spread offenses, you know, just having a guy like that in space, guys like that can play in these offenses. And he's a player. There's no question about it.
I hate to even ask the shocked term, but are you surprised or does nothing surprise you anymore that he left? Because the kid came in and performed.
You know, Chris, I used to be deathly afraid of snakes. And now I live in Arizona. I see them every day. And so I've become desensitized to it. So that's sort of the way it is now. The question was good. Was I surprised? I'm not surprised at anything anymore. I think there's more disappointment when something like this happens than there is surprise. I was at practice on Tuesday. And, you know, it was a different vibe because that was the day that he wasn't showing up for practice. So it was a little different vibe, I think. And it can take the – unless he's been a problem within your locker room, mm-hmm. and you lose a guy like that, it just sort of takes the wind out of your sails. And so we'll see how Colorado responds to it. But he's a good player, and, you know, you just come to where these things just seem to be the norm now. I was flying back with a donor, actually, and he just said, I'm getting tired of all this. And really, it's not going to stop until fans say, hey, we're not doing this mm-hmm. anymore. And I don't see that happening anytime soon, but that's how it gets stopped.
Gary Barnett's with us, Hail Varsity Radio. What did you take away from Colorado as you were watching practice?
I just got access to all the practice films, mm-hmm. and I was watching it on the film on the game on the plane coming back, and I really wanted to see more of the offensive line, so I just pretty much concentrate on the offensive line. They're going to be better in the offensive line. The big kid they got from that's a freshman is going to be a really good player. He's got really good skills, and you know they're gonna be a very skilled offensive team, at least at the receiver spot and the quarterback spot. They're going to be really skilled in the secondary, and then after that they'll be better than they were in both sides of the ball up front. But I haven't been able to assess all of that yet.
Coach, what do you think Nebraska has in Dylan Raiola? Coach Rhule has been very matter-of-fact about the progress all three quarterbacks have made. I believe it. I'm anxious to see what they do. But I think it's going to be a celebration with a lot of veterans that have earned time away. Guys that have 1,000 snaps already at the practice level, they're not going to be playing their upperclassmen, but the young guys will have a chance to thrive, and Dylan's one of those. What do you think Nebraska has? It sounds like he's really separated, or that's the read anyway. He may have separated in this race.
Well, if he has, Coach Rhule and the other coaches don't want to make that announcement. They want everybody to feel like everybody's in it. And I think the spring, this game, and especially you guys have a lot of young players that you're going to be able to play, and you've got enough players that you can play a game. And so that's a real fortunate thing for the fan base, because we're only going to have a practice. And we're going to have about 27,000 people, it's just going to be a practice. A 2-hour practice is all it's going to be, with some activities. There's going to be a lot of fun and big concert afterwards, and a sort of a party going on during the spring practice. And so it'll be a happening. Unfortunately, I think we're going to have rain. So we'll see how that survives all that stuff. But it's great that you guys can have so many young players that you can have a game and actually get enthused about and see what the future looks like a little bit.
Who's the concert? Who's playing afterwards?
Well, Lil Wayne.
Oh, nice.
I can't believe you didn't know that.
Well, Lil Wayne was supposed to be in Lincoln like 2 or 3 weeks ago, and the show got canceled.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Well, that's because he doesn't want to be a Husker. He wants to be a Buffalo.
For now, he may transfer out.
Yeah, he went in the portal and we picked him up.
So. Coach, let's talk a little NFL draft. Do you get excited for the draft in all your years with kids going? And how do you treat this time of year?
You know, because I really do watch all these guys and get a pretty good feel for them, it's sort of like, to me, the draft is anticlimactic. Mm-hmm. It's just a matter, I'm pretty sure, unless there's a real surprise that I haven't seen or anticipated, it pretty much always falls along the lines that, you know, throughout the year, the mock drafts and the different guys talk about different players and what you observe doing various shows and stuff. It's sort of pretty, like it's already done. Mm-hmm. But there's always something that pops in there that, you know, a last-minute trade or what, that makes it exciting. I don't really watch it, but I do I watch the ticker going underneath. And, you know, I am interested in where everybody goes, but I'm not tied into it.
Do you like this quarterback class? I mean, we were talking a few years back about the 2021 draft class, and 4 or 5 of those kids have already been traded away. Now you fast forward, McCarthy, May, of course, Caleb Williams is the top guy. You have Penix, you have Nix, you have Jaden Daniels. I mean, you've got some dudes, and it's all, you know, conjecture. Do they translate to the next level? Do you love this quarterback room?
I do like this quarterback room. I think probably the guy who hangs around the longest would be Drake May, just because he's not going to be a mobile quarterback and subject himself to a lot of shots and injuries. But I like the whole draft. I like the receiver group. There's 23 of the 32 guys are offensive players, and the ones that are defense are either corners or edge players. Mm-hmm. So edge rusher. So it sort of shows you where the game's going, the NFL game. But I think this is a great quarterback draft class, no question.
Where are you at with Denver? Do you think, I mean, they traded for Zach Wilson. Great. Do you think Peyton tries to make a move at quarterback, or do you think they go all in on Wilson, the other Wilson?
I can't imagine them going all in on Zach Wilson. Now, I really liked Zach Wilson when he was playing and coming out, and I really thought he was going to be the guy in New York, but it's, guy coming out of Utah going to New York City, that's a challenge in itself. But I can't imagine. I mean, Zach Wilson does have really good skill, and I really did like him. But I can't imagine Denver selling a house for him. Mm-hmm. There's got to be somebody that's around that they can play with. So I sort of think that's good backup, but I'm not sure. I don't know the situation well enough, but I just can't imagine them hitching their wagon to Zach Wilson.
What do you believe about McCarthy? He's been the big name this week. Do people trade up to get him? Does Harbaugh get crazy and take him and move Herbert? I mean, there's so many different things floating out there today.
Yeah, I don't know how to take all that, but I'll tell you this. If Harbaugh does take him, that tells you a lot. Mm-hmm. Okay, I mean, it really tells you, because, I mean, Harbaugh's in a different position now than he was before, than he was a year ago, because he now has to have the best quarterback that he can possibly get his hands on. And if he trades up for McCarthy, then he's got to have a lot of confidence in J.J. McCarthy as a pro-level quarterback. So that'll be interesting to watch.
Gary Barnett's with us. Coach, we'll say goodbye. Reaction to Reggie Bush getting his Heisman back?
Things change, Chris, and I was in favor of him being penalized the way he was, and I'm also now in favor of him getting it back, given the fact that the world doesn't want rules like that anymore. So, I'm good with it either way. Happy for him, probably, but at the same time, he was breaking rules. They broke big rules. And at the time, those rules were the rules, and they were important. Now those rules, nobody wants them anymore, so they got rid of them. And he gets his trophy back, and I'm happy for him. So,
Coach, enjoy your spring game weekend, and we'll get caught up again soon. Thanks for the time.
All right, Chris. Great being with you.
And now,
back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Pretty quick turnaround for Field Yates, as he is on the ESPN draft panel right now.
He's in the green room.
He is in the green room.
They've done a lot of work on the green room in recent years. It's gotten swanky looking. It's gotten from like hotel conference room to like 5-star hotel lobby, you know?
Do they have shrimp cocktail in the green room?
It's not in Indy. I'm wondering. So no.
It's not Indy. Well, there's only one.
I was gonna
cocktail. Good work, Connor.
I was going to ask if they have an open bar. That's a real question for the green room. The guy's sitting there on pick 29. He thought he was going to go in the top 10. He's now 10 Coors deep.
That's pretty good. I wonder if Danny Burke had his druthers, would it be an open bar? Is it an open bar tonight from a celebration angle? For his Chicago Bears, for Connor Clark's Chicago Bears, for Brandon Vogel's Chicago Bears, for Coach Jeff Smith's Chicago Bears. Pride of Chicago, Danny Burke with us, Burke's Best Bets, and Burke's Beat Podcast, Burke's Beat Blog. Log on and check out Danny's thoughts. Pride of Chicago at Danny Burke 5. How are we doing tonight? Are you in celebration mode with your mates?
I'm doing good, fellas. Yes, I am in celebration mode. The hopefully beginning of a new era in Chicago Bears fandom and franchise history going forward, right? I mean, this is the day hopefully we look back on and say that was the turn of everything. Finally, the Bears get their franchise quarterback in Caleb Williams, and then we'll see what they do with that number 9 pick. Big question marks. Whether they get one of the receivers, trade down, get a guy like Byron Murphy, a lot of things up in the air. But excitement all around And I feel like from an outside perspective, people may be chuckling and going, what is this going to be any different than the years past? You had excitement with Trubisky, with Fields. It just feels like, knock on wood, Bears fans are finally due, and this has to be the guy to finally work out.
Bigger moment this week for Nebraska in finding that quarterback drought, thirst quencher, or the Chicago Bears?
It's got to be the Bears, right? It has to be the Chicago Bears. And I'll crack it up, Schmidt, to you saying how many Bears fans are involved with the program, with Hail Varsity Radio and everything. And it's just, you know, we got so many people part of the show that are just in dire need of a successful professional NFL team. I mean, Nebraska at least had the 90s and still some winning seasons. Those Bears fans really have not had any offense or anything for that matter. So we're keeping our fingers crossed, and I think we get a little bit of the edge there.
Danny, really fast here. Do you know this off the top of your head? What are the Bears' odds to make the postseason? I'm a firm believer that if the Bears do well in this draft, they're set up to be a team that could maybe get a wild card into the NFL playoffs next season. Do you know the odds off the top of your head?
Let's see. I'm looking it up at one book right now, scrolling through. It says the yes is -120, the no is even money. And which seems absurd to think for what the Bears did last year, the year prior, and bringing in a rookie quarterback. But that's the difference here. You have an absolute stud potentially in Caleb Williams. You saw what someone like C.J. Stroud was able to do last year. And you got to recall the Bears already have D.J. Moore. They already had an improving defense. The secondary, that's good. May have gotten better with the additions of Jonathan Owens, Kevin Byard. You got DeAndre Swift, Gerald Everett, Keenan Allen. So we're assuming that the offensive line and someone to pair with Montez Sweat is a necessity. Getting a receiver is a necessity, too, because even with the addition of Keenan Allen, remember, he's 32 years old, final year of his contract, love the guy. But you want to bring up someone to mold alongside Caleb Williams and for him to really just have a buddy to work with throughout his tenure as a Chicago Bear. And the Detroit Lions, maybe they plateau a little bit. Packers, I don't think, are going to be in the postseason this year, despite what everybody else says and all the admiration for Jordan Love. And then the Vikings are going to be in a rebuilding process themselves, depending on who they pick to be their quarterback, which, by the way, I think Michael Penix Jr. is the sneaky guy to think it's going to happen. I took that at 6-1 for that to occur. But, yeah, I get why the Bears are showing a lot of love. They'll have a last-place schedule. And it makes sense why you got to pay a little bit to bank on them getting there. Do I think you should bet it right now this far out and laying a price? No, I don't think you should do that whatsoever, because there's still an adjustment period, and the NFC North will still be more competitive than it has been in the past. But all in all, it does make sense that the odds are where they are.
Danny Burke's with us here, Burke's Best Bets on Hail Varsity Radio. And Danny, I think the intriguing storyline to me, how many quarterbacks are going to be going in that top 10 tonight in the NFL draft. You have Caleb Williams, obviously the presumptive number one pick. Daniels and Drake May also assumed to go within that top 10. Fun fact here, I didn't realize until today that Drake May is related, I believe, the brother of Luke May, the North Carolina basketball player who hit that shot to send him to the Final Four. I just realized that today, and he went viral for making it to his 8 a.m. class the next day. That's an aside. The intrigue to me, though, Danny, is on J.J. McCarthy, former Michigan quarterback. The odds in Vegas have told you that there's a lot of juice to him going in the top five, maybe even number two. Do you think that's legit? Is that something you're looking at? What is your thoughts with the betting market moving so significantly in the past week with J.J. McCarthy?
Yeah, it's been wild. And actually, last night I talked about it on my draft podcast. I took J.J. McCarthy to be drafted over 5.5, meaning 6-7, so on and so forth. Mm-hmm. And I got it at the price of +182. Now you see it at some shops as high as like -140. So there's been a lot of love now in the betting market. That's assuming that he's going to be drafted a little bit later than expected. And the reason being is because I think more people are expecting that, not really a downgrade on McCarthy, but that the Cardinals aren't going to trade out of the number four spot. And then the Chargers will also stay in the five spot and either get a receiver or an offensive lineman. J.J. McCarthy also went on the Rich Eisen show and said he spent the most time with the New York Giants. Now, the Giants are interesting because he just signed a ridiculous contract with Daniel Jones last year. And then they also brought in, Drew Lock, your boy Drew Lock, former Denver Broncos. So,
don't call him my boy.
He is.
Hey, you got to get a little credit. He used to be your guy somewhat. But nevertheless,
that's
I think
guy.
That leads McCarthy to realistically getting picked by the Giants or the Vikings a little bit down the line. And if the Lions, or pardon me, the Vikings don't feel threatened that somebody's going to take him ahead of them, or they like Penix better, then they probably won't have to trade up to do so with presumably the Chargers. So that's why I think the sentiment has changed. And a lot of bettors, and hopefully myself included, saw some value on the over, especially with that plus money price. So, yeah, that's not too surprising for me to see that movement head that way.
Danny, who do you see the Bears taking at number 9 here in the first round? We got about a minute here.
Yeah, Connor, I want them to take a receiver. I want Odunze, who's a realistic choice for that to happen, to fall to them and they take them. Because, again, like I mentioned, you know, Keenan Allen isn't going to be the savior for the next 5 years, but someone they draft in the first round could be. I get it's a deep class. I think Poles is probably going to trade down, and I think they're going to end up with a defensive guy coming off the edge or defensive interior. Again, Murphy seems to be the popular name, and I think they'll go with him. Then I think they'll go with the receiver later in the draft and probably beef up then on the offensive line. It depends who's available on the offensive line when they trade down, but I think defensive front is a real dire need for this squad right now.
Daddy, about 15 seconds. Tell folks where they can hear you and read you and what you're doing with Burke's Beat.
Yeah, BurkesBeat.com is the website. Handicap it every single day. We got baseball, bunch of postseason action in the NBA happening. And, of course, you can find the NFL Draft Bets if you still want to get involved. Podcast, Apple, Spotify, just search Burke's Beat.
Daddy, we'll check in next week. Thank you, sir.
Hey, always appreciate it, fellas. Enjoy the draft. Talk to you next week.
And now,
back to Hail Varsity Radio.
One final time. This has been awesome here at the Single Barrel inside the Graduate 9th and P here for the NFL Draft and getting you geared up for the spring game Saturday. We're back here at the Single Barrel from 8 to 10 Saturday morning. Breakfast starts at 7. Get here and swing on by if you're making your way into Lincoln for the spring game tomorrow night. Graduate, obviously, an awesome spot to stay. Single Barrel is where you need to get your red meat game, right? Or your pork chops or your whiskey.
Wait,
or a beer.
Pork chop is red meat. It doesn't look like it, but it technically is.
But I always thought, you know, the
way to get
pork,
technical.
the other white meat.
Yeah, that's the same,
your
but it's not actually.
Steak versus your pork.
Google it. It's,
I'm not going to Google it. I don't care.
It's technically a red meat.
It is incredible. It's what it is.
That is true.
Cliff checks in. Cliff, good to say what's up. Thanks for checking in. Tuck, also some parting shots. And good to hear Tuck chiming in. All of you for making time. Appreciate you doing so on the Hail Varsity YouTube channel.
Speaking of shots.
Subscribe and like there. What's up?
What were you guys drinking earlier? What did you get bought?
Rumple mints.
No. that is a Ameristar delicacy, or our dear friend Scott will bring us Rumple mints here from the Single Barrel. This isn't old fashioned.
Oh. So classy before the draft, I see.
Well,
it's just one of the best tasting cocktails you can get.
This is also true.
It's as simple as that. I've never had, well, actually, I was going to say there's never a bad time for an old fashioned. There's plenty of bad times for an old fashioned.
Yeah,
that was actually
probably
the wrong thing to say. But if you're in the mood for a drink, there's never a bad time for an old fashioned.
Right. I mean, after, you know, the one that puts you over the edge, that's the time for a bad old fashioned. When you go to waking up on the floor. Shout out to Brian on site here, big time Husker fan from Virginia Beach. As he is here, it's pretty awesome to have him here. Big day for Nebraska. TJ Lateef is here. He's in Lincoln, 2025 quarterback prospect. Nebraska landed a bear of a tight end today.
Nice.
Right on. Tip your waiters. Try the veal. Right?
That was so bad.
I know. It was. Again, when you – I'm challenging you, there's no bad time for an old-fashioned take on – but Nebraska able
roll.
To – you're right. Right now, Connor's going to just start playing in traffic so he can get away from us.
It's a shame the show's coming to an end.
Right. Bear Teddy is in at tight end for 2025, a three-star talent. Nebraska also landing another, I believe, commit – earlier today. Tanner Turch, Denver area athlete, making his commitment. So we'll have some more on both of those dudes tomorrow. And tomorrow's show, we'll check in with Jacob Padilla. Thoughts on the spring game, thoughts on the portal world turning on the hardwood. Big week for a lot of Omaha prospects going elsewhere officially. Pride of Fairbury, Bill Dolman, going to be with us tomorrow. And then Klausburn, he's imaginary. He wears red. He will be back tomorrow at 5:40. But come on down, get to the Single Barrel here, part of your Husker celebratory weekend with the spring game. And again, back here tomorrow, check that. Back here Saturday, 8 to 10. Reminding you to get to Herdat Sports Bar and Grill for the Team Jack event tomorrow night at 5:30. Thanks for tuning in. Get the podcast, Spotify, iTunes, Google Play with Hail Varsity. Back tomorrow at 4. Thanks.